Hello and welcome to BIX is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of BIX Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the BIXography website. In the BIX is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of BIX Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of BIX's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. Ernest Loring Nichols, better known as Red Nichols, was born in Ogden, Utah, on May 8, 1905. Therefore, in a little over a week, we're going to celebrate Red Nichols' 100th birthday. And I want to devote today's edition of WBIX to commemorate the memory and honor the musical output that Red Nichols left us. First, I'll give you a little bit of information about books available on Red Nichols. There are two books. One of them is entitled Redhead, A Chronological Survey of Red Nichols and His Five Pennies. The author is Stephen M. Stroth. This is basically a survey of the recordings, the jazz recordings of Red Nichols in the 1920s. There is a second book. This one is called The Red Nichols Story, After Intermission, 1942-1965, and it is written by Philip Evans, Stanley Hester, Stephen Hester, and Linda Evans. Both of these books are part of the Studies in Jazz published by Scarecrow Press for Rutgers Institute of Jazz. In addition, I would like to mention a very well-written chapter by Richard Solhalter in his magnificent book Lost Chords. Okay, I'll give you a little bit of biographical information about Red Nichols a little later, but I would like to start with the music. And I'm going to try to play rather unusual recordings by Red Nichols rather than the very well-known ones. Let's see how that goes. The first two recordings I want to play in this commemoration of Red Nichols are from, let's see, July 20, 1925, and they are with Bill Wynn and his Greenwich Village Inn Orchestra. We have Billy Wynn on drums and directing, Red Nichols on trumpet, and probably Jaime Farberman also, We have Sam Lewis on trombone, Arnold Brillhart and or Larry Abbott, Alfie Evans on clarinet, alto sax or baritone sax, Jules Nasberg on clarinet or tenor sax, Frank Farrell on piano, and there is an unknown banjo and an unknown brass bass. The two numbers that I want to play are Say Arabella and Somebody's Crazy About You. I should point out that Say Arabella is from July 20, 1925. Somebody's Crazy About You is from July 27, 1925. So let's listen then in this program commemorating Red Nichols couple of recordings from 1925, the Billy Wynn Greenwich Village in Orchestra.
Thank you.
aren't those Edison recordings wonderful? They give plenty of time for several of the musicians in the bands to play solos. Remember, this is 1925 and the solo was very well established by now for jazz as well as hot dance recordings. Okay, what I am going to do, I'm going to jump back and forth from early Red Nichols. Early, by that I mean mid-1920s, to late, and by late I mean late 1920s recordings. The next two are going to be from Sam Lennon's famous players. This is November 8, 1927. Where Have You Been All My Life? There is a vocal here, but I don't have information about the vocalist. And I'll follow that with, let's see, Back in Your Own Backyard. This is February 1st, 1928. Sam Lennon and his orchestra. And there's a vocal here. It's identified in Rust's American Dance Band discography as Irvin Kaufman. Now, the composition of the bands for these two recordings, the musicians, other than the vocalist, are given, but sort of not exactly. And let me just read what I get from Rost. On trumpet, Red Nichols and Jaime Farberman, Sam Lewis on trombone, Andy Sanella on clarinet, alto sax, or string guitar, Larry Abbott on clarinet or alto sax, Norman York on tenor sax, Murray Kellner, and perhaps another violin, Bill Wurges on piano, Harry Weezer on banjo, perhaps Joe Tardo on brass bass, and Sam Lennon is the leader and plays drums. So let's listen then to a couple of recordings of Red Nichols with Sam Lennon, first from 1927 and then 1928. Thank you.
your own backyard. You see your castle in Spain through your window pane, back in your own backyard. Oh, you can go to the east, go to the west, but someday you'll come weary at heart, back when you started from. You'll find your happiness lies right under your eyes, back in your own backyard.
Did you notice that Where Have You Been All My Life, Red plays a bit of a muted trumpet that's not common for him? And also, did you notice how subdued Irving Kaufman was in the recording of Back in Your Own Backyard? Okay, now let me read just a sentence from the book by Stephen Stroff. It's in the preface, and it says, Red Nichols was unquestionably the most prolific jazz artist of the 1920s and early 1930s. He made thousands of records with various dance bands, including those of George Olson, Sam Lennon, Joe Candulo, Jack Stillman, Lou Gold, Paul Van Loan, Ben Selvin, Mike Speciale, Al Jokers, Fred Silver, Barney Rapp, and Bob Harry. It's an amazing list, and if you add to that, of course, Paul Whiteman, and I was looking in the discographies and see what kind of groups did Red Nichols play with. We have the Charleston Seven, the Goofus Five, the Tennessee Tutors, Lenny's Redheads, the California Ramblers, Varsity Eight, Five Birmingham Babies, the Georgians, Cotton Pickers, Hottentots. He accompanied Cliff Edward, Annette Henshaw. The list just goes on and on and on, and I don't know how one can do justice to Red Nichols, but I'm trying. Okay, now I want to play a couple of recordings of Red Nichols with the California Ramblers. And the first one is a very famous number. It's Charleston. That was recorded on April 2nd, 1925. And it has Frank Kush and Red Nichols on trumpet, Tommy Dorsey on trombone, Jimmy Dorsey and Arnold Brillhart on clarinet or alto sax, Freddie Kuzik on clarinet, tenor sax, Adrian Rollini on the bass saxophone, and in fact, he also plays piano in this recording of Charleston. And Irvin Brodsky is the regular pianist, and Tommy Fellini is on banjo, Stan King on drums. Formidable group, isn't it? I will follow that with a recording of, let me see. I thought I had it, but somehow I think I'm missing it now. It's The Flapper Wife, from April 22nd, 1925. The composition of the band is the same. Here there is a vocal by Vernon Dalhart. So let's listen then to a couple of recordings of Red Nichols with the California Ramblers, 1925.
Thank you. in the world. Oh, for my girl, Gloria, my flapper
Well, let me give you a little bit of biographical information about Red Nichols. This is from Who's Who of Jazz by John Chilton. He was born, as I said before, in Ogden, Utah on May 8, 1905, and died in Las Vegas, Nevada on June 28, 1965. His father taught all instruments, but specialized on clarinet. Red started on bugle at the age of four, cornet at five, at 12 was featured in family musical act and his father's brass band. Gigged with local band leaders, including Lillian Fletcher, then gained scholarship to Culver Military Academy December 1919. Play cornet, violin, and piano at the academy until being dismissed in September 1920. Returned to Utah, played in pit orchestras, then joined Ray Stilson on cornet, doubling violin in 1922. Later, he joined the Syncopating Five, a seven-piece group, made first private recordings. He was soon appointed leader of the band and billed as the Royal Palms Orchestra. They began residency in Atlantic City early 1923 and Lake James, Indiana. Briefly with Joe Thomas Band in Ohio, then worked in Asbury Park and New York with Malcolm Johnny Johnson from September 1923. In 1924, Johnson left full-time music and appointed Nichols as leader of the band. Notice he was 19 here. That band subsequently played at Pelham Heath Inn for 3 months. In late 1924, Nichols joined Sam Lennon in New York. From 24, worked with many band leaders, including Harry Reaser, Benny Kruger, Ross Gorman, Henry Halstead, Vincent Lopez, Don Voorhees, etc. Also with the California Ramblers, regularly led their own recording studio groups and took part in countless freelance sessions. Briefly, with Paul Whiteman from late April until 1st June 1927, then again worked with Don Voorhees. Led own bands and orchestras during 1928-1930, played for several Broadway shows, occasionally touring trip to California, late 1928 to early 1929. Continued to lead own studio groups, the Five Pennies, the Red Hats, Charleston Chaser, etc., etc. Led own band at Hollywood Hotel and Park Central during the early 1930s, numerous residencies in other cities, and occasional touring. Okay, I'll stop at this point and continue with the music. I'd like to play a couple of recordings by the Cotton Pickers. Millenburg Joys, and If You Hadn't Gone Away. These were recorded on August 21st, 1925. Now, according to Rust, the composition of the band for these recordings is as follows. Let me see if I can find it here. I'm looking for Millenburg Joseph. Okay. Red Nichols on trumpet, Mickey Bloom on trumpet and mellophone, Miff Mole on trombone, Chuck Miller on clarinet, Frank Trumbauer on C melody, Rube Bloom on piano, Royce Mack on banjo, Joe Tardo on brass bass, and Ray Bouduc on drums. This is August 21st, 1925. According to Evans and Kinner, the biography of Frank Trumbauer was present in earlier sessions of the Cotton Pickers, but not by August 21st, 1925. Let's see. The book by Stephen Stroff gives for the composition of the Cotton Pickers, Red Nichols on cornet, Mickey Bloom on trumpet mellophone, Miff Mole on trombone, Chuck Muller on clarinet, Alfie Evans on C melody sax, Rube Bloom on piano, Harry Reeser on banjo, Joe Tardo on tuba, and Phil Roll on drums. And finally, the Real Rare Red, Volume 2, LP, The Acoustical Years, 1925-1927, it's Broadway, BR120, gives basically, okay, following Red Nichols, Mickey Bloom, Miff Mole, Chuck Miller, Frank Trumbauer, Rube Bloom, Ray Smack, Joe Tardo, and Ray Bouduc. So I think the only thing we can say for sure is that Red Nichols and Miff Mole and a few of the others were there. And clearly, since research by Phil Evans is really thorough, we can conclude that Frank Trumbauer was not there. But let's listen carefully at the C melody sax, anyway, in these two recordings of Red Nichols with the Cotton Pickers in 1925. Thank you. certainly was not Frank Trombauer on that C Melody sax. Okay, now I'd like to bring in a couple of recordings. First one by the Arkansas Travelers. This is from September 14, 1927, I Ain't Got Nobody. And according to Rust, the composition of the band is, there's Red Nichols on trumpet, Miff Mole on trombone, either Pee Wee Russell or Fud Livingston on clarinet, Fred Morrow is on alto sax, Rube Bloom on piano, and Vic Burton on drums. However, according to the liners for this LP, Real Rare Red, Volume 2, Acoustical Years, 1925-1927, the composition of the band is Red Nichols, Miff Mole, Fud Livingston, Fred Morrow, that's Rube Bloom on piano, and that's it. Vic Burton on drums. So, very similar to what Rust tells us, with the exception that Fud Livingston is shown in the liners as definitely present, whereas Rust hesitates between Pee Wee Russell and Fud Livingston. Now, I'm going to follow that with another recording. This one is Everybody Loves My Girl. It's from about October 10, 1927. And it's Myers Dance Orchestra. Now, Rust tells us that this is the name Myers Dance Orchestra was used on English Perfect for the following very interesting performance, not issue on any other label, apparently. It's Everybody Loves My Baby, as I said before, October 10, 1927, Red Nichols on trumpet, Jim Lytle, on clarinet, Fred Morrow, on alto sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Dick McDonough on banjo, and Vic Burton on drums. Again, let's see. The liners for this Real Rare Red LP says, possibly this Myers Dance Orchestra is the Lou Gold Orchestra and has Red Nichols, Jimmy Lytle, Fred Morrow, Arthur Schott, Dick McDonough, and Vic Burton. So let's listen to a couple of interesting sides. First, Red Nichols with the Arkansas Travelers in 1927, and then Red Nichols with Myers Dance Orchestra, also 1927. Thank you. I'd like to read from Dick Sodhalter's book Lost Chords. He has a chapter 7, entitled Red Nichols and His Circle, and it's a very nice chapter, as I indicated before, about red nichols. I want to read just a couple of paragraphs. He's writing about how some musicians, when they, for example, Louis Armstrong, he says about Louis Armstrong and others never tired of reminding all and sundry that a musician took a bandstand or stage to play to an audience which had paid to see and hear him. It belonged to his calling, therefore, to give the people in the age-old show business formulation their money's worth. And then a little later he writes, yet from the start there were jazz musicians who perceived the duality of artistic and commercial responsibility more clearly than others, attempted to serve both ends and paid a high price for their trouble. As Slonimsky might have suggested, no case illustrates the pitfalls of such a course better than that of Ernest Loring Red Nichols. He was a cornetist, an excellent one, and a strong and positive force in producing and disseminating a body of music which can still astonish with its subtlety, ingenuity, harmonic and technical brilliance. It's hardly stretching a point to contend that much of what became the modern and progressive jazz of later decades had its origins here. Yet, few hot musicians of the early years have been so consistently fought over, have polarized critical opinion so violently as Red Nichols. Throughout his 60-year lifetime, he was both extravagantly overpraised and cruelly vilified, as much by fellow musicians as by critics. Since his death in a Las Vegas hotel room in 1965, his music has remained in eclipse, all but unknown to latter-day listeners. Yet, any investigation of the music yields the inescapable conclusion that Nichols mattered. His achievements are real and substantial. I fully agree. Red Nichols has produced an enormous amount, not just an enormous amount, but an enormous amount of very high quality recordings in the 1920s. Well, let's continue with the music now, and I would like to play a couple of rather unusual sides. First, a transcription of a radio program. This is Studio Stunts, April 1925. It's basically Billy Jones and Ernest Hare talking and introducing a short piece by Freddie Rich and his orchestra. This is April 1925, and musicians in that Freddie Rich's band are Red Nichols on cornet, Freddie Rich on piano and directing, Earl Kelly on trombone, Ted Klein clarinet, alto sax, or soprano sax, Ken Gould Mayer on clarinet on alto sax, Rudy Adler on tenor sax, Jimmy Johnson on bass sax. Well, a lot of saxophones there. Phil Olewitz on violin, Jack Hanson on brass bass, Ray Baduc on drums. I will follow that with a recording by Peggy English. This is from January 1927, and she's accompanied here by Red Nichols on cornet, Rube Bloom or Arthur Schott on piano, Eddie Lang on guitar, and Joe Tardo on string bass. Now let me give this piece of information. There is this very comprehensive discography of Eddie Lang written by Raymond Mitchell. It's entitled Feeling My Way, and this recording is not listed there. So it's either it is not Eddie Lang, or somehow Ray, who very thoroughly and very systematically investigated all of the recordings of Eddie Lang, missed it. You can listen. There is a little bit of a solo following the vocal, or between the two vocals. And you can tell me then if you think it is Eddie Lang or not. So then, let's listen then to first Freddie Rich with Red Nichols radio transcription from April 1925, then Red Nichols accompanying Peggy English in January of 1927.
How do you do, everybody? How do you do? How do you do, everybody? How are you? Billy Jones and Ernie Hare wish to say to you out there, how do you do, 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 do.
Say, Bill, there's quite a gathering in the studio today, and they're a talented-looking bunch, too.
Why, there's Freddie Rich and his Hotel Astor Orchestra.
Yes, why not have him play how many times?
Well, once, anyway.
All right, Freddie, let's go. One, two.
Well, I didn't think that that guitar was by Eddie Lang, so I side with Ray in his discography of Eddie Lang. He doesn't include this particular song, but I will be interested in if any of you wants to discuss this, please feel free to post this in the Bixography forum. Okay, it is fitting to wind up this tribute, this celebration of Red Nichols' 100th birthday by playing two of his compositions. First, I'm going to play Redhead Blues. This is from September 14, 1927, the Arkansas Travelers with Red Nichols on trumpet, Biff Moll on trombone, Pee Wee Russell, Orford Livingston on clarinet, Fred Merrow on alto sax, Rube Bloom on piano, and Vic Burton on drums. And finally, the last tune in this program will be Red Nichols' composition, properly entitled Five Pennies. And there are more than five pennies here. It's Red Nichols and his orchestra with Red Nichols and Leo McConville on trumpet, Biff Moll on trombone, Dudley Fosdick on mellophone, Fud Livingston on clarinet or tenor sax, Jimmy Dorsey on alto sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Carl Kress on guitar, and Chauncey Morehouse on drums. And this is from June 21st, 1928. So then, let's listen to a couple of compositions by Red Nichols, one from recorded in 1927, the other recorded in 1928. Red Nichols. Thank you. that winds up the tribute to Red Nichols. I hope you enjoyed it. I did. It was fun listening to all these sides. And I think Red Nichols is a great musical talent, and he needs more than just one program. So in the future, every once in a while, I'll either throw in a couple of sides by Red Nichols or devote another entire program to his music. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive. If you understand, this is